It has been a very long month. As it always is, we're tired. Well, I think most of us are cranky. And I think we're almost all ready for a vacation, to just be out for a little bit and to get ourselves back ready for it. It's called Sofzman. That's really the yeshivish term for it, and it's a perfect term for it. Sofzman, it's all over, and that's that. So Rabbi Friedman, as he brought up a week ago, said Rav Chaim Shmulevitz used to work even harder at the end of his month. That's why he was Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. That's why he was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva, and he wrote Sichos Musar. Because he knew that everyone else was slacking off. So he's the one that made himself into something. So if you want to be a Rosh Hashiva, a massive person, that's the way you should be. That's what it's supposed to be. But by normal people, for us normal people, it's very, very difficult at the end of his mind to really feel like it's there. It's very, very difficult to do. So what is it for normal people? What does Sozman mean for most normal people? How are we supposed to treat the end of this month? What are we supposed to do now? So the honest truth is, it's a time for reflection. Time for real, honest to goodness reflection. Looking back at yourself and saying, what did I do this past month? What have I accomplished? Now, some people look at that and they can only think to themselves, well, I did this badly and I did that badly and I didn't do this and I didn't do that. But that's not the point of a reflection at the end of his month. The reflection at the end of his month should be positive. What did you accomplish this past month? What were you able to do in the past 6-7 months? Looking at it negatively and saying to yourself, well, I didn't wake up for Shacharis every morning. Well, I didn't always come on time. Well, I didn't always make it to Seder. Well, I kind of slept through. That doesn't accomplish anything, even if it's true. It doesn't accomplish anything, because really, to be honest with you, that's something for next month, to be able to figure out what to do for next month. To be able to do, at the end of his month, you want to think to yourself, what did I build myself up to? Most of you have built up your commitment to davening. Most of you have built it up, whether it's here or elsewhere, maybe by your wall, but at least you've built up a connection that I am going to daven in the morning, even if it's going to be difficult. You've made it even stronger for yourself, because even if you've davened for the last 10, 12, 14, 15, 16 years, however long it's been, if you've been davening and you have another 6 or 7 months added on to that, it makes it even stronger for you. I've been doing it up until now, but now I'm even stronger. I've got another 6 months under my belt, and I've done that to myself. You finished blot after blot of Gemara. And maybe you don't know it perfectly, but that's not the point. You've gone through blot after blot in Gemara. I figured it out. My shir has done 25 blot this year. 25 blot altogether. 17 blot in the first parak, right? Plus, altogether, if you add on, ends up being that you do about 7 or 8 blot in the third parak, and the 17th blot is not exactly, so it's 25 altogether. Rabbi Friedman a bit more, Rabbi Sussman just a bit less, but altogether that's what you've done over the last 7 months. You've done Musar, you've done Halakha, you've done Chumash, you maybe have done a little bit of Navi. That's not including your AHS classes, any Hebrew classes that you might be taking within the college system, in which you're either learning philosophy or Jewish history or Jewish thought, if that's not philosophy, or anything else that might have some dealings together with that, in which you can add those onto your repertoire of what I've done and what I've been able to accomplish within this month. You've worked in some way or another on Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And maybe you haven't been perfect, but there is a massive difference in the way you acted toward the people that you know now to the way they were in the beginning of this month. You might not have even known people's names in the beginning, but now you know who they are, you're able to talk to people, you're able to get around with people. The fact that we can have like a voting process like we just did to be able to come up with this type of vibe, type of issue, whatever it is, it means something. That's something you didn't have 9 months ago. It means you've made friends with people that you never knew 9 months ago or 8 months ago or whatever it is, and you're now, at least you're more than just acquaintances with them. You spent some months with them and you've built that up together. You've learned to not only expect people to have, but you've learned to respect people for their differences. And even though the people that come to our yeshiva are from extremely, extremely different backgrounds, you've been able to say to yourself, well, that person might think like that, and I think like this, and I sort of can't really get where he's coming from, but listen, that's his derech, that's my derech, you've been able to be okay with it. It's not very common where you can find guys from literally every type of background in the world, and I'm not saying that you were always happy with it, and of course there were complaints. Like a typical Torah Simcha Merkaz or base guy is not going to have the same thought process as a guy who comes from Shalvin, KBY, or Gush. It's for sure not true. Of course you're going to have like differences of opinion and how to be able to deal with things. But the fact that you're able to accept that that's what works for him, so fine, that's what he's going to think, and this is what works for me, that's great. You're able to come up with something. Hashkafically, we're trying to find ourselves in between and trying to get ourselves where we need to go. Right? But when it comes to this, you're able to accept and understand where people are and where they're coming from. That's an unbelievable idea, to find out that there are varied opinions and that you can figure it out, as long as you're not conservative reform. They were good. We don't have any of those there that I think of. You're a person. And that's the real idea. At the end of his man, you become a gavra. A gavra. A person who's lived through this man, who's built themselves up. Could you have been greater? Of course. Everyone can be greater. Even Ruchaim Shmulevitz would agree at the end of his man, I could have been better. Everybody could be better. And maybe there are different varying degrees of how much better you could have been. Well, I could have been that much better. I could have been that much better. I could have been that much better. That might be true. How much you had a possibility of doing and how much you didn't do. But that's not the point. At the end of his man, you sit there and you say, what did I accomplish? Did I get any streaks going? Did I get any streaks? And it's Lahavdil. The Blackhawks can do 24 in a row. I think that's what they got in the end. How many days in a row did you get where you were learning for 4 hours a day? At least 4 hours a day. How many days in a row did you get? And for some people, that might be up to 60 to 70. Granted, let's take our Shabbos out of the equation, because not always are we able to learn 4 hours on Shabbos. But for those people at it, you could have had a streak going every single day. And if you came in on Fridays, unbelievably so. You can have a streak going one day after the other, and that's the idea. And now, as it should be, you need a little bit of a break. Anybody who pushes themselves to as far as they could have done, and that's what it is right now, because you're done, it's over. If you pushed yourself, you need a break. A Yerida Litzorach Aliyah, as they call it. Just time to take that little break, to knock yourself down a little bit, in order to build yourself up the next time around. It's the idea of Alai. It's on me to do is Aliyah Litzorach Yerida, or the opposite way as well. Whichever way you want to put it. That's what Ben Hazmanim is. You're no longer going to have the chance to learn for 6 hours a day. That's not going to be possible because of all the other responsibilities that you have. So you move your 6 hours to 1 hour a day. You work your minyanim into your schedule, to where again, you know you have to make Shacharis Mincha Maariv. You know that the time in Chicago is Shkia is at 6:54 right now, which means Mincha is going to be at around 6:40 to make sure that you get it before, maybe even 6:35. You know that in different places, I tried looking up all the times for all the different cities that everyone's going to be at. I think my phone's monitor is a little bit off in all the other places, because I believe it said in Detroit 6:36 and Minnesota says 6:38. I don't think that sounds right, but regardless, it doesn't matter. Wherever you're going, you basically know what time Shkia is going to be, and you can figure it out. Work your day around Mincha Maariv. You know when you have to get to Mincha. You know if you won't be able to get there at 6:40 for whatever reason, you're going to have to daven at 12:30, 1:30. So don't think about it at 3:45 and say like, uh-oh, what's the kol davening? That shouldn't be the thought process. The thought process should be, so now where am I? What am I going to do today? And every single day should be a different story. Will you work out a system which you know where Mincha Maariv is, and you think about it beforehand? That's what it's got to be. You just have to know what you have to do. You have an unbelievable opportunity for Kibud Av V'Em. Unbelievable opportunity for Kibud Av V'Em. To know how to be Mechavin and how to be Meet with Yira. To have the proper Yira for your parents. And you can accomplish that. You can find a Rav. Somebody that you never get to speak to. Somebody that you're going to be around now because you're davening at a little bit later of a minyan. Or you're davening at a certain Mincha Maariv where you can hear what he has to say about Pesach. You can hear what he's going to say in Hilchos Pesach or whatever it is. You can go up to him and start speaking to him. A Rav that you don't normally get a chance to speak to. Because you're in yeshiva all day long. You don't get to daven over there, hopefully. Which means that now, all of a sudden, you have a little bit of extra time. You go up to him afterward and you say, like, how does Mechiras Chametz work? Can I sit down and watch what you do for Mechiras Chametz to understand what it means? Can I ask you a couple questions? That's perfect. That's what you really want. You want to get the whole package of what it means to have a rub of a soul. Because soon, you're not going to have that Mashkiach / Rebbe / whatever it is relationship that you've had up until now. Get yourself ready for the time when you're not in yeshiva. That's the point behind it. Of course, Halavai would be there. So connecting to the parsha in a way. Taim Min Hagen, Semen Kuf Pei Tes, asks, if there's no Melach Sedomis, that exists nowadays. The whole Melech Sedom, this issue of salt from Sedom that destroys the eyes and doesn't allow you to see anymore, if that doesn't exist anymore, what's the point in doing Mayim Achronim? Why do we still have Mayim Achronim after the meal if we're not worried about taking our hands and touching our eyes and poisoning our eyes? So why do we do Mayim Achronim? The typical answer is either Minig Yisrael. It's a Minig Yisrael. It's a Minig that we started and therefore we keep going. Same type of idea as Shnei Yom Tovim of Golias, or the same idea as the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, a type of idea like that, or because of Kabbalistic reasons that we don't understand. Maybe that'll be one of the two. Typical answers, you get around that way, you try to say one of those two. The Kaveh Yashar quotes the Zohar. Kaveh Yashar quotes the Zohar that says, the Ushan of the Korban is one of the miracles that's mentioned in Yuma regarding the 10 miracles that happen every day in the Beis Hamikdash, is that the Ushan that came up from the burning of the Korbanos went straight. And seemingly it went straight up to Shemayim. And that's what happened to the Ushan. But it says that at night, when they burned the fats and the limbs, the Evar Mukdarim, then the smokestack was still straight, but it went straight to the north. Straight into the north. Instead of straight up, straight over to the north, the makom of the Sitra Achra. As we learn in a pasuk in Yeshaya, mitzafon tiposeach ha-ra'ah, that the evil all comes from the north. There's unbelievable midrashim about that idea, but what it is, but that's why it's supposed to go to the north. What's it doing in the north? They are yonik. From that, Ashan agreed. They are yonik. All those Sitra Achra, the Satan, all of those kochos atuma are yonik. They take nourishment from that Ashan. Taking in that Ashan, and therefore aren't mekatrig. They don't accuse Bnei Yisrael because they're given almost a gift. This smell of the korbanos that's given over to them, that's allowed to go to them, similar to the concept of the Seir Lazazel. Crazy little concept, but it's similar to the concept where we're giving them almost a bribery. Where the Ramban says, it's like a king that says, give a gift over to my minister, so that the minister is able to go somewhere and he's able to do something, right? And he doesn't complain about you, he doesn't argue about you because he knows that everybody hates him. Similar to that, that's what the Ushan is doing at night, going straight to him. So too, says the Taimin Hagen, is the concept of Mayim Achronim. Mayim Achronim is a chelik of the meal that goes to the Sitra Achra. It's the part of the meal where it's sort of our gift, so to speak. A gift not as a korban, a gift not as even really a gift, but rather a Kaddish Baruch who asks us to give something to the Satan so he doesn't have to get involved in trying to destroy the accusations. Therefore we give something over to take care of that problem. So he's not mekatrik. That's why it has to be done b'derech kavod. Can't be done just stam. It should be done into a kli, not on the ground, or just stam onto something. You put it inside another kli. Sefer Haredim was told that a davar shebe kedusha, and he says that anyone who's makel in it, makel in Mayim Achronim, is Mekel Bishnosav V'yamav, that his years and his days will be Mekel and Shemayim, that they don't treat him the right way. The Balatanya says that Mayim Achronim requires Kavana Gedola. Balatanya, unbelievable, right? He says the Satan stands on the table when you eat and only leaves after you bench. Satan's there the entire time, and if you eat correctly in the right way and you serve the Mayim Achronim and you have everything there, then the Satan leaves happy. And if he doesn't, if you don't do that, and the Satan leaves upset, ready to be a Satan, ready to be mekatrik you on things that you did during that meal. A guy had a pain in his shoulder, and he went to the Arizal to ask him what he should do regarding the medicines. What should he do? The Arizal told him it's because he's over on a Maimer Chazal. Taketh l'netila bracha. Right after you wash Mayim Achronim, you have to bench. Taketh, he says, are the letters of the word kaseth, as in shoulder. The reason why your shoulder is hurting is because you're not benching right after you do Mayim Achronim. You're not even doing Mayim Achronim. So because of that, your shoulder is starting to hurt you. That was a line from the Arizal. So let's try to understand that a little bit. It's the little things that seem so easy, so simple, so innocuous really, right? Unharmful, if you need a better word for that, that you look at that and you say to yourself, what's the big deal? I mean, seriously, does it really matter if I put on my right shoe before I put on my left shoe? Does it really matter if I put on my right shoe, then my left shoe, then I tie my left shoe, then I tie my right shoe? Does it matter that when I'm bathing, I bathe the right side of my body and then the left side of my body? Does that really matter? Or that the head comes first? Does it matter that we go 4, 2, 5, 3, 1, 2, 4, 1, 3, 5? Does that really matter so much when you're cutting your nails? Does it matter that every time I get a haircut, or if I cut my nails, even by biting them, that I wash my hands after I do something? every single time that I have to wash my hands after? Does that really matter so much? Does it matter if when I have to wash my hands, I just do a little rubbing on top of the table when the water fountain or the water sink is maybe 3 minutes away and I'm just a little bit too lazy and I don't feel like getting up? Does that really matter? Does it matter if I take 3 steps back when I start my Shemoneh Esrei and 3 steps back when I finish my Shemoneh Esrei and go up? Does it matter if I don't know what I'm doing by Kiddushah, so I just do a random Karazel Zev Yamar because I saw it once by a random guy and I liked it a real lot? Does it matter that after my Shemoneh Esrei, when I take my 3 steps forward, I take 1, 2, 3, and then I do a little like that at the end of it, and then I walk away afterward, and I have no clue where that comes from? Do these things matter, or it's just part of it? Does it matter if, being serious when I say this, but I don't mean this in a blasting type of way, that I wear a jacket or I don't to davening? Does that matter? I mean, honestly, does that matter? Does it show chashivas to davening or not? You know, when you get up there for davening, and you sit there and you're davening in a regular shirt, does it mean something if I'm wearing a jacket a little bit more, right? Is that what the Mishnah Berurah is talking about when he says a person should prepare himself and get himself ready and wear the right clothing for davening? So it matters that when I wake up, I say Modani immediately, or I completely forget and I say it a little bit later on, or that when I wash my hands in the morning for Netilas Yadayim, I go in and I wash 1 and 2 and then I'm pretty much done and I don't do the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and even if I do, I end up doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then there's nothing left, so I sort of like... on that one. Does that really matter so much? Does it matter that when I'm getting a haircut, I kind of forgot the person, the girl at Supercuts, who I was waiting for because the ugly one was over there, so I went for the pretty one that was on the right-hand side. Wait for that one. I heard you, Rafi. But does it really matter, right, that when I was waiting for that pretty one, I forgot to tell her for some reason that she shouldn't be cutting my payas above the bone? Does that really matter so much? Does it matter so much on what kind of a razor I'm using if I'm not even so sure if a lift and cut is going to be mutter or not? And I decide, you know what, I'll go ahead and I'll mutter it for myself and I'll just say lift and cut is mutter because I heard from somebody who said he heard from somebody else who said he heard from someone else who didn't really hear from Rabbi first that it was mutter. Is that okay? Can I do that or not? We're not even getting into Shabbos and the concepts of getting yourself ready for Shabbos and pulling yourself together and getting yourself, you know, whatever. Even going to a mikvah beforehand and pulling yourself together, right, to get yourself in a real hachanitika way of getting yourself in a mikvah on Shabbos. Or the fact that you're really not supposed to shower after going to the mikvah on Shabbos. Really not. I mean, if you can, you know, I know sometimes it's a little bit disgusting, so you just find the best mikvah you can possibly find and you come out and I'll tell you, honestly, okay, you smell a little bit like soap. You'll be fine. No girls are looking at you yet, okay? You're fine. And if they are, okay, then you'll deal with it. They'll deal with it and you'll be perfectly fine. The mikvah waters are too clean for you to deal with. All these things, I mean, I know these seem like, really, like they're little tiny things, but as I once saw in an email, I don't know who sent this out, and it's so brilliant, the idea behind it is so brilliant. If I send an email to rabbizim@gmail.com, and I don't put in the little dot, it doesn't go anywhere. The dot is what makes it happen. And if you forget just that tiny little period, the whole thing is gone. There's no email, nothing was sent, nothing goes through, and it doesn't matter how important the message is. It doesn't matter that I did everything right. That one little dot does mean something. So you know what a Bein HaZmanim can be? A Bein HaZmanim, yeah, is a time, the end of the Zman is a time for reflection. The beginning of Zman is a time to re-establish yourself. Put yourself down, make for yourself brand new rules, and make yourself do something that maybe you needed to work on, but you haven't done up until now. You know what a Bein HaZmanim is? To sit there and say to yourself, what about the little things? What about those little guys that I never really took care of? Staying to davening till the end of davening. Leaving my tefillin on till the end of davening. Maybe saying a little bit of Tehillim every day. Maybe figuring out what those Sheish Zechiros are, which is a mitzvah every time you say something at the very end of davening. Maybe finally saying what the Yom is, if you haven't set it up until now. To understand that, listen, maybe if you need to go to the bathroom, just go. And don't wait. And you know what? Don't bring your phone in with you. That's the time. What Bein HaZmanim is about. To work on the tiny little things. So when it comes to yeshiva, these things are so obvious. You just come in and you're already done with them. They're just there. And that's what I mean by Mayim Achronim. Mayim Achronim is just a little tiny thing. Granted, it's just a little tiny thing, but that's what the Sutton is Mekatrig on. You don't do a little tiny thing like Mayim Achronim, the Sutton is Mekatrig for everything else. It's just a little tiny thing to work on. But when you work on something and you keep doing it one after the other, then you can get somewhere. You can become somebody. And if not, you're just losing out on everything. Losing out on everything. And I don't mean that nothing you do is worth it. Of course, we're talking, everybody will go to Gan Eden for their own Gan Eden and everything will be all good. But I mean, you're missing out on such an important part of life. Life. And how to live your life and apply what you've learned and use it in your daily life everywhere you go. And that's what a Zilzman is. Don't knock yourself down. That's what I'm here for, and I will. I will eventually. But the end of this man is for you to build yourself up. You accomplished. You did it. You did something great. Now go further. Now take yourself another couple steps and build yourself up even more. Become an even greater person and go in with better plans and better ideas and a new life after Pesach. That's the concept behind it. You can become a president if you just try hard enough. Traditional. We'll stop with that for right now, okay? Everybody have a great end of this month.